It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, welcome back to Money for Lunch. It's good to have you here. And let's see, coming to you, you know, not really 100% live, because today's Thursday show, and actually coming to you from Vegas. And just, you know, and Vegas is one of those, cities that I've enjoyed so very much, and I've gotten to enjoy it even more. So I'm out here hosting co-hosting the Icon Awards, where we are, what are we doing? We're celebrating the icons, the unsung heroes of the movie industry. We are celebrating the stunt people. And also this afternoon, I'm going to be doing an interview with my friend, movie star, MMA champion, Randy Couture. So I'm going to go over, hang out at his house, and do an interview there. That's going to be a lot of fun. So if you subscribe to youtube.com/ Bert J. Martinez, you'll be able to see that interview. If you don't subscribe to youtube.com Bert J. Martinez, you won't be able to see that interview. And I'm telling you, you're going to want to see the interview. I know that you will. All right, so let's talk about this. This is so important to your business. And I've been talking about this quite a bit lately, and I want to continue talking about it just because the response that I've gotten has been so unbelievable. People have not realized the importance of having a USP. And what is a USP? It's unique selling position or a unique selling proposition. For example, you know, why do people use FedEx? Well, they use FedEx because they absolutely have to have it overnight. That is their USP. Now, if you have a good USP, it's going to be very clear. It's going to speak to your ideal audience, right? And it can literally make or break your business because it tells your ideal audience exactly why you're different, what you do for them, and why they should choose you over the competition. So if you're looking at a shipping company, UPS, not to be confused with USP, but UPS, United Shipping Parcel, is completely different, has a different USP than FedEx. And so FedEx is probably what I would say 80% of the world uses to get something overnighted. Where UPS is probably 80% of the world uses that to get stuff shipped on ground. Now, does UPS have an overnight service? They do. And it's not as good as FedEx. FedEx dominates the overnight service. Now, does FedEx have a ground service? They do. It's not as good as UPS. UPS probably, in my opinion, dominates that ground service. But they both deliver something for their ideal customer. Does that make sense? And this is so important. Because if you know how to, how to really hone in on your ideal customer, then you'll be able to beat your competition. You'll be able to save money on your marketing. Your message is going to be different. I'm hoping that this makes sense to you. So look, everybody has a competitor. And I, specifically, everybody has maybe a very big competitor, right? The big boys in their field, the, what do you call it? The 800-pound gorilla. And how do you compete against them? You have to have a very clear and easy to understand, unique selling proposition. That is one of the shortcuts, right? I'm talking about this because it is just so critically important. It just, I cannot stress how important this is. And how many people I work with that simply do not have a clear USP. And the reason they don't have one is because they don't clearly understand who their ideal customer is. Right? So I just wanted to kind of talk about this. It is so vitally important. If you need help figuring out who your ideal client is, or help figuring out what your USP should be, then reach out to me, Bert@BertMartinez.com. I have some stuff I can send you absolutely for free to get that rolling, right? Because it's so vitally important. So I want to, first talk about what's the first step. Look, the first step in your marketing plan, in developing your USP, in developing your business, is identifying your ideal client. I cannot stress this enough. This is so, so important. And so many people miss this first step because they don't understand it. They don't understand the importance. And then they're wondering why their marketing's not working. So once you understand who your ideal audience is, you can help, that's going to help you construct a marketing plan. It's going to help you construct your marketing materials. It's going to help construct your marketing message, ultimately help you construct your unique selling proposition, your USP. And that is going to help reduce your marketing costs. I want to, for example, I want you to think about this. In the personal injury space, just about everybody in that personal injury space kind of say the same thing. There is no differentiator. Thank you. Now, sometimes these law firms try to differentiate themselves by using an eagle or kittens or motorcycles because they're trying to stand apart, but their message is the same. No fee unless we collect and all that other stuff. Now, a few have done it a little bit differently. There's a gentleman, I can't remember his name, but he's in Houston, Texas, and he refers to himself as the hammer, right? Because, hey, we're going to hammer out, we're going to hammer on the insurance company until they pay you what you deserve and all that other stuff. And that helps. Believe me, it does help. So what can you do to differentiate yourself in a competitive market space? Because you're either in a very competitive, very mature marketing space, or you are creating a new market, a new space which requires tons of education. But most of us are in a very mature, very competitive marketing arena. I mean, again, I was talking about lawyers, but, you know, let's talk real estate agents. Real estate agents, a lot of them look the same, sound the same. You know, so let me ask you, unless you have a friend or a relative that's already a real estate agent, when I say, hey, what real estate agent would you recommend? Either you're going to draw a blank, or you're going to recommend somebody that, you know, you had a good experience with. Now, if I said, who are some of the real estate agents in your market? Probably not too many of them are going to stand out because they're all the same. They're very, very similar. So their unique selling proposition, their unique selling position is different. You have to look at where you're at and figure out what makes you unique. What can you do that gives you a competitive advantage? Now, what I have seen with some real estate agents is they say, hey, we'll sell your home in 90 days or less, or we'll buy it from you. That's a pretty good competitive advantage, right? Speaking of real estate agents, Aaron Hinden is going to be joining me shortly, and he is a real estate agent. So we're going to be talking about, that. Anyway, unique selling proposition. If you don't have one, get one. If you don't know how to create one, reach out to me, Bert@BertMartinez.com, and let's get you some help. I have a couple of different PDFs that I can send your way. These are fairly easy. They'll take a little bit of while. I'll give you a perfect example. I've been hired multiple times to help create a marketing plan for people. And when we get into this USP area, when we get into these really important areas, I may spend a whole week just on the USP. So it's not something that you can rush through. Now, if you've already been in business for a while, maybe you kind of have an idea that you haven't really fully articulated. But until it is fully developed, written down, and not only do your customers know what your USP is, but your employees know it, and they must be able to recite it. They must be able to breathe it, live it, love it. I wanted to
talk about that. It's so vitally important.
Excuse me. So what else is happening? So if you're out in Vegas, hit me up. Maybe we can meet. And I can, grab a coffee or a Coke. If you happen to be going to the Icon Awards, look me up. Let's snap a picture together. Let's make things happen. Let's get to know each other. I'd love to come out. I'd love to meet with you and, you know, say hello, shake hands. I think it'll be fun. Always good to meet people when I'm out and about. All right, just for whatever reason, I had a little cough attack. And I had to mute that out. Anyway, USP is so vitally important. It really is. And I just want to make sure that you get that done. All right, Francis Jackson is one of our regular contributors, and he works with veterans who are seeking disability benefits. And I want to kind of mention this because it has come to my attention that many people suffer from not getting their benefits. And you shouldn't have to do that. Look, the reality is if you are a veteran, you've given so much for our country, and so has your family. And what I want you to think about is that you deserve your disability benefits. So if you've been turned down once or twice or three times, check out my good friend Francis Jackson. You can reach him at at Jackson McNichol Law Firm, jackson-mcnichol.com, jackson-mcnichol.com, and get yourself some help. And you know, there's no reason to suffer in silence. There's no reason to suffer at all. Get some help. You deserve it. You've earned it. Make sure it happens. It is so, you know, it's one of those things that I'm a little disappointed and a little frustrated with our government, that our veterans, our brave men and women, have fought for this country, have suffered. Some obviously have passed away. They died. They paid their ultimate price for their country. And then others come back and they need help with sometimes mental disorders, with recovering from an injury. They need rehab. They need medical attention. And I know that the government does what it can, but they need to do a lot better job. A lot of our brave men and women are being denied. They're being denied wrongly. Francis-McNichol.com will help you get the disability benefits that you need. They've helped literally hundreds of people. And, you know, they're there to help you too. So you don't have to sit there and suffer or be frustrated. And by the way, if you got denied, welcome. Welcome to the club. A lot of people get denied. A large percentage of veterans get denied their first time around. It's complicated. It's involved. It can be overwhelming. So do not let that get you down. Reach out to Francis Jackson at jackson-mcnichol.com and get the help that you need, that you deserve. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then we'll be back right after this.
Well, I'm not sure what it is. I guess I'll be okay.
I'm calling the studio, Matthew.
You're not shooting today.
Just get some rest.
He bought it.
Hi, can I get my CRV brought up, please?
Roderick.
Oh, yeah.
Roderick.
Life is packed with things you have to do.
But sometimes you gotta live a little.
Matthew, you poor thing. You sound awful.
I resist.
Look, I don't know what to tell you. He's sick. Actors get sick sometimes.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Get going in the all-new CR-V from Honda.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
We're back. Hey, we've been talking about unique selling propositions, positions, how important it is for you and your business to have that information. The other thing that I've been talking to people about, and again, this is something that if you're not doing something that you may want to consider doing, and that is the difference between direct response marketing and image-oriented marketing. And let me give you an example. So image-oriented marketing is something like Coke is the real thing. It talks about Coke, but it doesn't ask you to do anything. And that does not serve 95% of all businesses. I don't think it even serves Coke that much, but, you know, I can't argue with a multi-billion dollar company. And so for us, you should be looking at what's called direct response marketing. And what direct response marketing, that just kind of like it sounds, it's asking for a direct response. Opt in here on a website is a direct response marketing. Buy 3 cases of Coke for $10 while supplies last. That's direct response, right? Call now to get your free whatever. That's a direct response. So that, I want to make that perfectly clear that that's what you're doing. I have found a lot of people aren't real clear as to how to request a direct response. And this, again, is the type of advertising that you want to be focusing on, right? It's the most important type of marketing that you can be doing. And by the way, if you need help with your direct response, with your marketing, reach out to me, Bert@BertMartinez.com. I have templates that I can share with you that I share with my clients. And so I'll give you something that a lot of people do. This is a very common mistake, and they'll put their logo at the top of their ad. Dude, and dudettes, don't be putting your logo at the top of an ad. That is too valuable of space. It needs to be a ridiculously good headline, something that makes the reader stop in their tracks and take a look. Your logo is not going to do it. So 80% of your ad's success is going to be based or dependent on that headline. A good headline, like I said earlier, will get your people to stop in their tracks, look, and find out how this headline can help them, right? How your service, your product can help them. For example, if the headline is something like, well, in some cases, a headline and an offer can be the same thing. 3 Cokes or 3 cases of Coke for $10, that's a good headline. At the same time, it happens to be the offer. But it's going to get somebody to stop and read the rest of the ad. Now, if you are, let's say, a tax person, you may want to say something like, find out how we can help you pay 50% less taxes, up to 50% less taxes. That may catch, that's going to grab a lot of people, especially in the first part of the year. Now, here we are in August, so maybe your tax, your headline could read, haven't paid your taxes? Question mark. Or maybe it's haven't paid your taxes? Question mark. Want help? Question mark. Something like that. So for somebody who's reading that and they haven't paid their taxes, it's going to stop them right in their tracks. They're going to read a little bit further. these items that I'm talking about today, and the reason I'm talking about them is because, as you guys know, I work with a lot of people in the area of sales and marketing, and these are some of the areas that I see all the time. And it's not just small startup companies. It's companies that are doing $1 million a year that they've gotten there because they have a good product, or maybe they've been able to spend money marketing, and they're doing $1 million in revenue, but they're not really profitable. And that's a shame. If you're doing your marketing right and you're doing $1 million in revenue, you should be profitable. Now, if you are currently marketing and you're not happy with your results, definitely reach out to me. And I'm available, talk to you for free, Bert at BertMartinez.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. I have to warn you, those are not the fastest way to get to me because I get a lot of messages there, and so sometimes it takes a lot of time by the time I get to those messages. So if you really want instant interaction, Bert at BertMartinez.com. I'll be glad to email you some templates, give you some guidelines, and if it's necessary, we can jump on a call together. So, again, having a unique selling proposition is paramount, and then making sure that you're doing direct response marketing is also paramount. If you are, again, like most people, you are in a very competitive, mature space, and that requires that you differentiate yourself. And the easiest way to do that is with a unique selling position or unique selling proposition. Either way, USP is vitally important. And this is, again, if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a plumber, you are dealing with people that are being hammered. Your consumers are being hammered. And what happens is a lot of people tend to hurt their space and hurt themselves because then they try, because they don't have a unique selling proposition, then they immediately break down to trying to sell on price. And when you're trying to differentiate yourself on price, the only person that wins there is the consumer. They're going to get the best deal and you're going to get the least amount of profit. It's just not the thing that I recommend. It's, man, let me tell you, you don't want to be the Walmart of your industry. Not too many people can afford that. Hey, speaking of setting yourself apart, speaking of real estate agents, and my guest today is Aaron Hinden. He's a real estate investor, real estate agent. Aaron Hinden is a Seattle realtor and, as I mentioned, real estate investor, author, educator, and speaker. He is a managing partner of Christine & Company, a Seattle Magazine awarded 5-star real estate agent winning team for the past 5 years, and an individual rising star in Seattle real estate winner this year. Aaron Hinden, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hi, Bert. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. You bet. You know what? And I was just talking about how people like attorneys and real estate agents and plumbers and doctors and, there's so many people. We're all dealing. We're all competing in this very competitive, mature market space. So how do you guys there at Christine & Company, how do you as a real estate agent differentiate yourself with the thousands of different agents that are in your same space?
It's a great question, and that is a really big deal because, everyone's born with three things. They're born with a mom, a dad, and someone they know is a realtor. Everyone has – we couldn't be in a – you really could not be more common than knowing a realtor, Everyone
right.
has a realtor. And how does one differentiate themselves? We do it in one way we do it, and we're really particular about this, is in service. You know, we're a full service in a world that is, you know, careening toward automation and, you know, two-click purchasing and, you know, what Rocket Mortgage kind of, you know, on my phone. You know, from that world, we really distinguish ourselves as full service. We come in and we clean, we stage, we paint, we, you know, whatever you need. So we wind up being an advocate for people from the perspective of, you know what, this is your home sale, this is your home purchase. You don't want to do this the way you do it on Amazon. You do not want to do this quickly. You know, you do not want to do this the cheapest, quickest way possible. You want to do this right. This is the most expensive thing you're ever going to buy. Let's do this one slowly. Let's get this correct. So we provide that kind of advocacy for people where we're, you know, that kind of service, you know, like a serving their highest good, making sure they, you know, we talk people out of more houses, out of buying more houses than we sell. Like I will, for everyone who, every one of my clients that I'm shopping for a home for, I have talked them out of at least two houses for the one they find out they finally buy, because we're not going to get them in a position where it's a bad scene. So we really emphasize that level of service from that perspective.
Gotcha. Okay, so as a consumer, tell me, what does it mean when you say, hey, I'm a full service agency or agent? What does that mean to me as a consumer versus somebody who's not maybe a full service agent?
Well, I mean, what it means is that when we consult with you and we look to see, we're going to provide for you everything that from soup to nuts, from the beginning of the transaction, from the consultation all the way to the end, and really for the rest of your life, we want to be the person that you think of. So, you know, really we can, you're really comparing us to a discount broker, and there's a lot of competition,
gotcha,
conversations for discount brokers. And discount brokers in any field, in any, you know, you were just talking about this, right? You are either going to make yourself a commodity, which is a race to the bottom for price, which is
right,
what discount brokers do from the get-go. They have made this about price, and which is fine. If you want to do this by price, where, you know, that's one possible way to go. It doesn't wind up saving you any money in the long run, but if that's the way you're going to shop, fine. So, you know, what do we offer? We sell discount brokers in Seattle right now are selling homes for about 103% of asking price, meaning you ask for $500,000 and you get $515,000. Okay, that's a discount broker. They offer a 1-2% discount off a standard commission. We
gotcha.
Provide photos. So we provide a whole level of service, a whole bunch of things, and we sell houses for 107% of asking price. All right, fine. That's 4% more than a discount broker. But we're not giving them back any money. So, in other words, a discount broker charges a discount because, or anyone in business, forget about my field, forget about me, a discount in any field is only offered because, one, they're going to make it up on volume. It's a loss leader. They're hoping to make it up on volume. Or the market won't pay full freight for it. That's the only reason why anyone gives a discount. They either have too much stuff and they're going to make it up on volume, or no one will pay full service. No one will pay full price. And, you know, so if anyone listening to the show, anyone who's competing against a lower price, you got to have educate the consumer. Why is that person offering less money? I mean, why is that person offering their services for less money? You got to think about it. It's probably because they can't get full price. If they could get full price, they would, wouldn't they?
Sure. And I like what you said there. So look, if somebody's offering at a discount price, and that might be okay for some people, maybe if this is your 10th home and you're an expert home buyer seller, then maybe you can deal with a discounted service or a discounted price because you're going to get a discounted service. As opposed to if you're a new home buyer, this is your first experience, then a discount broker may not be the way you want to go because you need a little bit more hand-holding. And the reality is most people, you know, you figure most people buy what in their lifetime might what? Buy three or four houses a year in their lifetime?
A life. That's correct.
Yeah. So chances of somebody being an expert at being at doing this is probably very little. And there's, you know, there's changes in laws, there's changes in the market that unless you know what you're really doing, sometimes a discount broker is not the way to go.
100% with you. Just couldn't be, you know, I don't know how deep into the real estate world you want to get on this, but that concept that people do this three or four times and, you know, is a really, really, really big deal. I think people in this culture, in our culture, in America anyway, have in the background that they're supposed to know how to do it. They're supposed to know how to buy and sell houses. They don't ask questions, and they're just supposed to know. And you know, when we're supposed to know something, we don't ask questions, and we just fake it. And it's cost them so dearly not to ask the right questions, not to get over themselves, and not to get involved because – this is literally the most expensive thing they're ever going to buy or sell. It's not one of the most things. It is the most. It is the top. There's nothing more expensive than – there's nothing you touch more. There's nothing that touches you more. There's nothing that is more utilitarian, you know, provides more utility or more emotional support and nothing more expensive in your life than your house. This is it. It's the top. And it should be treated, frankly, differently than you do anything else because it's so unique in the place of your life.
Absolutely. I agree with you. You know what? You mentioned, you know, commoditization. And so a great example is the pizza industry. Let me tell you, I am grateful that these guys, this industry did what they did. So now most of us can get a fairly decent pizza for around 10 bucks. I mean, if you like Papa John's, or Pizza Hut, or Domino's. Luckily for me, I don't care. You know, those are like the top three players. I don't care which of those pizzas I'm eating. My question now is that a, you know, how much are we paying for that? Oh, hey, look, they have a special that you can get two pizzas for $10. Done. You know, because it's more or less the same product. Now, what's interesting is in my market here, there's a pizza company. And they have gone the opposite direction where they have a full service restaurant. They don't do pizza delivery. You have your pizza experience at their restaurant. And guess what? They charge like any full service restaurant. My family and I go there and we're going to spend, you know, $60 having pizza at that place because it's a full service facility. You sit down, they serve you, there's a menu, they bring you drinks, they refill your drinks. You know, it's a different experience than when you're buying the $10 pizza, right? And so my point being is that back to this whole thing about pricing, you can price yourself down and eventually you won't be able to compete in that space. I don't see how these guys make it because you look at Pizza Hut, Papa John's, and Domino's. They spent millions of dollars advertising, and so they have to do volume. But, you know, how much money can you make? How much profit can you make on a $10 widget? So, you know, it's just crazy. Right. Now, Domino's is trying to, you know, they're offering more items, trying to get that customer to spend more money with them. But that's the what do you call it? That's the ugly side of trying to compete on price.
Yeah, 100% with you. You know, it's your choice as an entrepreneur. Are you going to compete on price or are you going to compete on value? And value is whatever you are willing and can stand for having created with people and what they're willing to say you did. I mean, in your local restaurant is a perfect example of that. You know, I was listening to the show before I got on, and you were talking about direct response, which always makes me think of Dan Kennedy and, you know, his whole model for, you know, triple your prices and see what happens, you know.
Right.
Create a platinum level of service. Create a you know, a tier at which no one is even going to touch you. Well, like that, like it's a whole different, it's just a whole different game at that level.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I'm so glad you brought that up. For those of you guys who aren't familiar with Dan Kennedy is a direct response marketing guru, probably for us who are in marketing, his name comes up quite frequently, the guy. And so I urge you, if you're not familiar with Dan Kennedy, definitely pick up one of his books. The thing that I learned from Dan Kennedy, and you hit the nail right on the head, is this whole pricing model. And so today, it just so happens that I not only did I tweet this out, but I also posted it on LinkedIn, that if one of the fastest ways to double your business is to experiment with the pricing of that business, right? So most people undervalue their price, right? They charge too little. And the fastest way to double your business is double your prices. And as you said, see what happens. I mean, to me, that, you know, there, it's one of the easiest things that you can play around with. And you'd be surprised how many people can change their price and not lose any customers at all. Or the customers that you do lose are probably your most problematic customers, because the nice thing about raising your prices, it seems to attract better customers.
Yep. 100%.
So, okay, so let's go back to –
I got nothing to add, Bert. It's perfect. Yeah.
No, that's right.
It's just perfect. It's exactly
right. So let's go back to – I want to go back to the real estate market, and I want to ask you this. So here I am. I'm shopping around. I'm looking for a real estate person to help me out, and give me your, you know, based on your experience, what is the real cost of working with the wrong realtor? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, it could be, you know, I mean, I've seen it cost people $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 plus whatever headaches you want to add to, you know, the upset, the emotional upset, the time, everything else that people get invested in when they make the wrong call. You know, I was just, I'll just give you an example. I don't know what it's going to wind up costing this woman, but, you know, I was competing with another agent for a listing, you know, and the woman called me back and said I gave it to someone else because I wanted to hire the neighborhood expert. Okay, I mean, besides my personal opinion that neighborhood experts when it comes to selling houses is a complete fabrication of realtors have created the fabrication that somehow being a neighborhood expert helps when you're listing a house, because it doesn't. There's nothing in neighborhood. Maybe when you're buying a house, yeah, for sure. They're knowing something about what might be happening. But when you're selling a house, I don't need to know anything about the neighborhood. I'm not going to ever talk to the potential buyers. I'm not any, you know, I'm listing a house. You want to know how my marketing works, right? However,
right.
She hired this person. Great. That's fine. No problem. You know, when I lose, I'm very competitive, Bert. I'm sort of like, you know, right? And so I'm following this house, right, and seeing what happens. It's been on the market now about 2.5 weeks, which in Seattle is a ridiculously long period of time for a house to be listed if it's priced right. And it's not priced right. It's priced about $100,000 over where I would have priced it, and which is, you know, whatever, it's 5-8% higher than I would have priced it. And and then I looked up this agent's statistics, right? Who this agent was, you know, who she hired. The woman she hired sold 2 houses in the last year. In the last 365 days. 2 houses. One of them happened to be in her neighborhood, and the other was in a neighborhood, of, you know, 15 miles away. And I don't want to get into the weeds about it, but that woman who is now, the woman who didn't hire me, right? And I'm not saying I'm the best ever. I'm just saying I would have beat this woman. Is, you know, this is going to cost this woman a month, 2 months of time. She's going to wind up getting less money. How much less money? I don't know. It could be a very long time. You know, it could be 3-4 months. I don't know how long she's going to wait to call the shot that the house is overpriced. But those are all, you know, because she didn't inspect the track record of the two agents she was interviewing. You know, this was a very easy thing for her to actually avoid. She could have very, very easily, with one question, avoided this entire mess. And she could have said, please show me your last 12 months of sales. And I would have showed her, you know, 25 sheets of homes that I sold over the last 12 months. This woman would have showed up with two sheets. That's the end of the conversation. This is how simple it is to avoid the wrong realtor, right? It's just as simple as asking, can you show me your last 12 months of sales? And compare apples to apples. But nobody does this. Nobody has ever asked me for my last 12 months of sales. Nobody. Ever.
Well, you know what, and here, let's talk about this. This is very important. This is what I was talking about earlier. You know, as a consumer, most consumers, probably 95, 97, 99% of consumers would never ask that question because they don't know that's a question they're supposed to ask.
Right. Right. And they go ahead. That's right. And they're trained. I mean, this whole, you know, like I said, about the whole cell phone and the whole Rocket Mortgage, those commercials about how easy it is. And I don't know that I want the largest loan I'm ever taking out in my life to be done on my cell phone. That doesn't make any
sense.
I don't want to buy a home online. I can't even buy something on Amazon over $75 without reading through every aspect of the return policy. You understand? I'm like freaked out about it. Right. But people use the kind of due diligence that they to buy a house they use when they go to dinner. Hey, I don't know, you know where you want to eat? No. Hey, my Bob recommended this restaurant. Good, let's go there. Or Bert says this pizza place is fantastic. Or the pizza place has stars on Yelp. Or we ate at that pizza place for our anniversary 7 years ago. Let's go back there. All of those are fine ways of determining how you want to go to dinner, but people use that exact same methodology when they try and determine who they're going to hire to represent them in the largest transaction of their life. Hey, do you know a realtor? Hey, that one has 5 stars on a website. Hey, we used that guy 8 years ago. None of that makes any sense. It's like all ridiculous for the most expensive thing you're ever going to buy, especially because that realtor that you hire could have done 2 deals in the last year. So people don't know how to do that. That's I'm, like you can tell, I'm a little bit passionate about this.
Sure.
It's really the whole premise of my it's the premise of my new book. It's the premise of what else, you know, everything else that I'm out to empower people with is making better decisions, making smarter decisions when it comes to the most expensive thing you're ever going to buy.
All right. So let's talk about your new book. Did they send me a copy? I don't have a copy of the book.
So whatever I sent you, Bert, I changed the name. So
all right,
don't bother looking for it. It's totally good. The book's called A Better Way Home.
A Better Way Home. Great title. Love the title. Better Way Home. And who is the book for?
The book is for anybody who's thinking about buying or selling their own home, or anybody who knows anybody who's buying or selling their own home. So if you knew someone who was going to buy or sell a home, this would be a great, hey, before you jump into this, this is an opportunity to get educated before you step into the largest single financial and emotional transaction of your life. Slow it down a notch, right? So it's for anyone like that. And it's for people that are willing to learn the questions that they should ask, right? Or questions they could ask. I don't like shitting on people so much. So if there are people out there, like I was talking to my sister about this, and I love my sister, and she's my sister, right? But she's not willing to learn. She's not willing to consider there's questions to ask that she hasn't already thought of. You know, when I talked to her about this, she was arguing with me about how these were good questions or not good questions. She's fine the way she is. So if you're fine the way you are, this book's not for you, right? If you're like, yeah, I'm good, I got it, no problem. Go ahead. You got it. The woman that hired this other agent was like that. Like, I got it. I'm all good. Fine. It's not for you. But if you're not, I got this. If you are open and like, huh, is there a better way? Could there be a better way to do this? This book is for you.
Now, let me ask you this. Here you are. You are, what do you call it? I don't know, you're going about your day and all of a sudden you get this inspiration, this idea to write a book. What inspired you to write the book? What was going through your head that you said, man, I got to write this book?
Two things, really good. Two things. One is exactly what you were talking about before I got on the phone, before I got on the show. How am I going to differentiate myself in this mass, in this sea of realtors? You know, everyone who I go talk to knows three other people they can give their business to. How am I going to differentiate myself from them? And this is straight out of Dan Kennedy's playbook, is write a book, become an authority. You know, I walk into a listing appointment, I put down a 250-page book called A Better Way Home, and it's an Amazon bestseller, which is not a radically difficult thing to get, you know, to be able to put on your book. And say, here, listen, before I leave, whether you hire me or not, here's a copy of my book. I want to make sure you get totally taken care of and make sure that you know everything there is to know about this transaction, whether you hire me or not. Here's my book. I'm now not like anyone else they're interviewing, right? So that's a whole way of separating yourself. Write a book. That's 100% Dan Kennedy, right? Write a book.
Absolutely.
So that's one thing.
And just I want to talk about this a little bit longer.
Sure.
So one of the reasons that write books, write articles, do videos, go on talk shows is because you separate yourself from the masses, you build authority, you build credibility, and that is one of the best ways to stand out. I mean, I'm a big believer that credibility determines profitability.
Totally. 100%. 100%.
So whether you're a plumber,
and that's,
you sell water filters, you're a real estate agent, as in your example, you're an attorney, you're a plastic surgeon, writing a book is one of those things that will separate you from the masses if you use it. And I love the example of how you're using it. It's a great leave behind. Hey, great, you're going to think about it, whatever. Here's my book. This will help. Check it out. And guess what? Now you're the authority. You're super memorable because you're going to be the only person leaving a book behind, not a corporate brochure. Here's my book. You are now the authority because you wrote the book on that subject.
Yep, totally. You know, and it took me – and you said the thing about video and blogging and like that, Bert. And so what I've done is and for the last year and a half, I've been at a company that helps me with this. I send out 2 videos a month, questions that my customers ask me all the time, things on the real estate market, whatever, and those go out to my mailing list. And I did a 10 video series on how to buy a home and a 7 series on how to sell your home. And then I took those series and I sent them to an editor, and she transcribed them, and then I had the framework of my book. And then I spent the next 8 months, and really I'm in the middle of it. I'm almost done now. I'm just arguing. I just changed the titles. I'm just finishing the cover, right? But then I took the next 8 months to edit out what I had. So I didn't write it. I mean, I spoke it. I just spoke. Here's how you buy. Here's how you sell. And when I added a whole bit that fascinates me about the context of why people don't ask that question. Why people don't ask that question is a third of the book, you know. So the videos are just fantastic like that. So if people think I'm not a writer, no problem. You don't need to be a writer. Just talk about your subject, and for $1 a minute, you can get the thing transcribed online, and then there you have something to edit and probably 50 blog posts, you know. So I'm with you 100%. And that's one – so that was one – reason why I wrote the book was to become the authority. And then the second reason was it bothers me. It just really bothers me. It really bugs me to that no one has ever asked me. I mean, we sell homes for more over asking than almost anyone. And really, when I go compare myself to other agents, you know, that I lose business to, I'm selling homes for more, but not one person's ever asked me how much over asking price do you sell homes for? And it bugged me. And I started to do research into it, and I really started to feel like this is an area that people don't know about, and it's hurting them. And there's a whole bunch of psychology behind it, why it is that way, and then there's just a whole bunch of non-publicized information. For example, Bert, do you know that, and I had a researcher do this work for me, so this isn't something I'm guessing at, the person in every state in the union, this is almost exactly the same in every all 50 states, ready? The person that cuts your hair studies for 1,000 hours to get a license. Okay, 1,000 hours to spend. The person cuts my hair tonight. I'm going to like Sport Clips or something with my kids, and you get my hair cut, $20, right? $25.
Right.
1,000 hours to do that. The person that sold you your house, you know how long they had to study to do that?
No.
90.
No.
I'm telling you, and Texas is the large is the longest, and it's 150.
That blows me away. And you know what's really funny about that? Since you use that example, so I don't, you know, I shave my head, and so every now and then I will actually go to my barber because I'm just tired of shaving my head, and you know, it's a nice little treat to have somebody else shave your head for you, because they put on the hot tile treatment, all that other stuff. And I just find it ridiculous that I'm paying basically the same price, $20, to have somebody shave my head. And, you know, and people pay $20 to have their hair cut. And so, anyway, bottom line, you pay the same price. And as you said, they studied the same amount of hours, 1,000 hours, to shave my head. And here is this unbelievable, this real estate agent studies between 100 and 150 hours to sell you your most expensive asset.
Yep. That's right.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. And then you get to this other piece, right? Here's the second piece. Here's the third piece. So it's the most expensive thing you own. The person that's going to buy it or sell it for you has spent the literally the least trained professional, right? There's no profession in the world that you can get away with 2 weeks of study. 2 weeks of study, right? 90 hours. And then the third piece is, like this woman that I told you about that sold two houses in the last year, if you average out the number of homes that were sold, I'm not looking at the numbers, but I can tell you the end number. The number of homes that were sold with the number of people with real estate licenses in this country, right, it would be like each realtor sells something like two or three homes. If you consider that 80% of the homes are sold by 20% of the realtors, you know, the 80-20 principle, which is a pretty solid principle, right? Even if you considered that 80% of the homes were sold by 20% of the realtors, it would average out to be 11 homes a year, which means even if your realtor was in the 20%, the top 20% selling 80% of the homes, they wouldn't do a deal a month, which
That's
means
amazing.
They probably need some other job. They probably need some other job to make ends meet, or they're just not very good at it, or they're brand freaking new or something. But if you're not asking people the right questions, or you're going because, oh, look, I saw the commercial, I'm going to go do this on an app on my phone, well, God bless you, you know? Good luck to you. That's the most expensive thing you're ever going to buy. That person that's giving you the discount ain't doing it because they're nice. There's a reason. And they probably sold three homes in their life. It's insane.
Right.
So anyway, that was the second reason I wrote the book, because I don't think people know those three things. And it's not okay
if
they don't know those three things.
I certainly did not know those things. I bought probably 15 homes in my lifetime so far, and that blows me away. Listen, Aaron, we're out of time. I'd love to bring you back and talk more about credibility, authority, selling, marketing, and standing apart. Aaron Hinden, thank you so much for stopping by.
Bert, thank you. Thanks for having me. Love talking about it.
All righty. Good stuff there from rising star Seattle realtor Aaron Hinden. And I'm blown away. I mean, wouldn't you think that a real estate agent who's handling literally millions of dollars worth of transactions a year would require more than 100 hours to be a real estate agent? It just seems like that is just so funny to me. It's so weird compared to the cosmetologist who's going to get, you know, 20 or 30 or, you know, even a high-end cosmetologist might get a couple hundred dollars to cut your hair, requires 1,000 hours. That's just so crazy. Anyway, as always, thank you for being here. Check out my videos at youtube.com/Bert J. Martinez. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.